Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
So comes the call for the poor to be fed. More hungry by far are a billion and more who wait for the bread of the word of the Lord. So many books, so little time. So many hunger, so many blind. Starving for words, they must wait in the night to open a Bible and move towards the light.
Welcome to another Looking Up show. Today is Wednesday, December 11, and Santa is on his way, ready to come down your chimney. No, he's not. No, he's not. But instead of Santa, we've got a very special guest here today. I've got my good friend Blair, who's a regular on the breakfast show. Welcome, Blair.
Hello, Danny. It's good to be here.
This is your first crack at the Looking Up show.
That's right. A new program, but look, I love radio, so let's do it.
Oh, absolutely. Now we are blessed to have Blair. He is one of Australia's preeminent scholars when it comes to religious liberty issues. So we have got like the creme de la creme, as the French would say. Now I've really talked it up, haven't I, Blair?
Oh, wow. Now we got 2 hours to live up to that. Oh,
have mercy. Now you may be wondering, where is our mate Sharissa? I hope you can hear us out there because, Sharissa is packing as we speak. She's packing little Judah into his own little suitcase and with Justin, and they are heading off to your part of the world. You've got connections with the land of the free and the home of the very, 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 very brave.
Indeed, indeed. A beautiful country.
Yes, indeed.
And one that is mentioned in Bible prophecy.
It is, and we're going to be tapping into that.
Say that about Australia.
Oh, we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about this great country, making this great, great country. So anyway, we're going to be looking at that. So yeah, Sharissa will be leaving tomorrow, folk. So if you want to text her anything that I can pass on to her, because she said she was going to be listening to the radio, because today is an unprecedented day on the Looking Up show. The reason is I'm here on my own. There's no Charissa. There's no Shell. There's no Rochelle. There's just Blair and me. And I am like hosting and I'm trying to direct traffic. I'm trying to produce. I don't even know if this is getting out there. We could be just talking to ourselves. So if someone
it's
is
never,
out there.
It's never a good idea to put Danny in charge of the computers.
I don't know. What were they
what
thinking?
What were they thinking? What were they, we'll get through it.
Sign of the times. Sign of the times. So, Charissa, if you're out there and if someone is out there, if someone can hear us, can you please text us and tell us that we are actually talking to someone out there in Radio Land? 04-888-17624 is our number. 04-888-17624. So I'm anxiously waiting, Blair, for that first message to come through on the screen. And thus far, there is nothing. So let's hope and pray that someone can actually hear us. So if you can hear us, 04-888-17624. And we also have a book to give away.
Awesome.
Check out the book. And it's a book which I think has got a fantastic title, Blair, for this time of the year. It's a great book for yourself, or you may want to give it to someone else as a gift coming up to Christmas. And the title of the book is Life is Good. The Best is Yet to Come by William G. Johnson. So that's going to be our giveaway book. And we've got a number of these copies. I'm not sure how many. Oh, look, someone has texted us. We are out there. We're out there.
You did well, Danny.
We're out there. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We've got liftoff, liftoff. Elon Musk would be proud of us. You know, on my first attempt, we actually have liftoff.
That's right. Now you got to catch the rocket with the little arm thing that he's been pulling off.
Oh, have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, it's David. David has texted us. He's listening in from WA. He's one of our most regular listeners. So David's told us, yep, he can hear us loud and clear there in the West. And Ben, he can hear us as well. Thank you, Ben. We're affirmed. So we're out there. We're out there. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, Blair. Let's talk a little bit about you, mate. We've only got a little bit left before we go on to our first song. But you've got something exciting coming up in about a month or less than a month. What's happening in your life?
That's right. I'm about to become a father again for the third time and welcome our first little son into the world. I've got two girls, which I adore, of course. They're the most beautiful girls in the world. But I'm very
What are their names?
Eden and Torah.
Eden and Torah, there you go. Very biblical.
That's right. Yeah, we had two themes. When we were picking names, we were shooting for a biblical theme, but trying to find a name that would not be so obvious, you know, not a really obvious Bible. They're a bit hard to find. So we went with Eden and Torah. But now that we're moving into the male name territory, we're actually having a lot of trouble. So if there are any great male names out there, Bible names, or Bible connections in some way, please text us through. I'd love to get some ideas.
We're absolutely. Short. So there you go, folk. Blair is asking for some help. So we're putting it out there. 04-888-17624. Text us a potential name, for Blair and for Emma. It's, needs to have biblical connections. And there's a $50 prize, I understand. Is that right?
Were you thinking? On the spot. Wow. One of my friends named Torah.
$50. I mean, $50.
If it was the name, I'd be willing to part with 50.
There you go. Like a voucher to the BBF. Anyway, there you go. Oh, wow. We're down to 15 seconds. The time is flying by. So, big shout out to my friend Tegan at the front desk. She's a Looking Up show listener, and Natasha Tash. So they both listen in, and big shout out to you guys. And so we've got our first song coming up. And it is, let me have a look, it is from Chris Rice, Oh for a Thousand Tongues. Enjoy this song, and then we'll be back to get stuck into what's been happening around the world from a prophetic point of view.
Oh for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. And if I had a thousand tongues, still I could never singing of. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. And if I had 1,000 tongues, still I could never sing enough. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. And if I had 1,000 tongues, still I could never sing enough. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. And if I had 1,000 tongues, still I could never sing enough. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues implore. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. And if I had 1,000 tongues, still I could never sing enough. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
You are listening to Oh for 1,000 Tongues by Chris Rice. What a beautiful song, Blair. What do you think?
It was very nice.
You're a bit of a muso, so you appreciate good music. I'm not a muso, but I do appreciate good music.
Absolutely.
Just beautiful words on the guitar and, hey, that reminds me of what we have at our church there, Newcastle Uni Adventist Church, which we would highly recommend to anyone, especially a young person.
Absolutely. If you're within 100 kilometres of Newcastle, it's the place to be every Sabbath morning, Saturday morning.
Absolutely. I was going to say within 200 kilometres, but yeah, certainly you want to be there, and we will feed you. We will feed you every single week. So, I'm really disappointed, Blair. As you know, it was my last official Sabbath with the congregation this past Sabbath. That was very sad, you know, to be leaving after, 12 months. But I praise God for the 12 months.
Absolutely.
It's like being in Disneyland. For a pastor,
amazing.
It's just amazing. Just a beautiful community, solid, straight up and down. Love to share the gospel. Love to introduce people to Jesus. Warm, friendly.
Hungry to study the word.
Oh, multicultural, like the United Nations all there.
It's a foretaste of heaven.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We cannot sing the praises enough of the Newcastle University Adventist Church. And so if you're within 100 to 200 kilometres of the university, do swing by and you will be thoroughly blessed. But tell us, what's happening in your life in the new year? There's some exciting new adventures on the horizon, not just
indeed,
a brand new baby coming up. And by the way, we do have other listeners as well. I've just got a message here from John. And he's given 3 suggestions. Check this out. Here we go. Thanks, John. $50 could be on the way. We'll have to wait and see. Call him Adam or Aaron so your 3 kids combined can be.
Oh,
there
nice.
You go. There you go.
I like that. That's clever. That's very clever.
There you go. So that's that. We've got another comment here from our mate David. He's popped in a second comment. So that probably won't be the last one. He loves to give us feedback, and we're very thankful. David said when he's heard that you're up to number three, this is his comment. That's nothing, Blair. We have six children.
Oh, amen. Well, my goal
and my youngest is Benjamin. That's a nice name. I like Benjamin.
I like Benjamin. That's nice. Yeah. Six is really commendable. Well done, David. My goal.
It's one short of perfection.
My life goal is seven children.
Yeah. I challenged Blair when he gave the big announcement that number three was on the way. I'm like, you're almost halfway there to perfection. Mm. And he said, and I still remember the text. Challenge accepted. I'm not sure if Emma put a like to that or whether she put like a scary face. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, that's exciting. Look, children are a blessing from the Lord.
Absolutely.
A blessing from the Lord.
Yeah, so next year for us, well, we've got a... I've been at Newcastle University Adventist Church for the last 4 years. We're involved in planning that church right at the first week of COVID hit and the lockdowns were put down. We had our first meeting on the campus there the week before the lockdowns and then have been part of that church community for 4 years now. But just for next year, we've just accepted a call to pastor a church in Maitland, which is nearby to where I'm living out there in Conjewai, a little suburb out in the Hunter Valley.
He lives out in the sticks in the middle of nowhere. It's almost impossible to find him.
It's beautiful, though. I love it. Peace and quiet, the fresh air, the stars at night, no light pollution, no cars coming along, bit of land. Mate, there is something to be said.
The animals just roaming around wherever. It's good old stunning. Aussie mammals roaming around. Just absolutely beautiful.
I had a bilby hop through my house just yesterday.
A bilby?
So, yeah, at night time. Well, it looked like a bilby. I'm not a marsupial expert or animal expert, but it got that little pointy nose. It's like the little chocolates you see when you're a kid, those bilby chocolates. But yeah, it definitely wasn't a rat. It was bigger than a rat and it hopped something different.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, look, just amazing wildlife out there. We love the country, but we've just taken a call to pastor a church out at Maitland. So we're looking forward to that. And
you're still going to be the young adults ministries leader here for the North New South Wales Conference.
That's right. Continuing in youth work and running youth camps and in the midst of all that. So God is good. We're looking forward to it, but very sad to leave the Newcastle University.
Yeah, I know. It's a beautiful church, isn't it? Absolutely. So there you go, folk. Some big changes on the way for Blair and his family. So keep him in prayer as he transitions. I think this is your first opportunity or your first crack at pastoring a church, isn't that right? Because you were involved in education, chaplaincy, and teaching, and then you transitioned to youth, sort of youth work as far as departmental youth work. And now, so this is your first church, isn't it?
Yeah, well, first established church.
First established church. The Newcastle Uni Church. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, so I guess, you've had a pretty, the Newcastle Uni Church, that's like being in Disneyland, really. Let's be honest, not too many serious challenges there to give you too many headaches. Well, let's hope and pray that it's a real positive experience. Well, folk, we have a lot to talk about today in connection with Bible prophecy. So I've got a whole bunch of news items lined up here, Blair, and I'm going to be interested in your take on these from a prophetic point of view. So, but before we sort of get into the deep prophetic articles, let's take a look at one that just came through a couple of days ago from the ABC News website. So this was on the 6th, just a couple of days ago, and the headline was, "Why More Australian Gen Z Men Are Finding Meaning in Organized Religion." Did you know that? Gen Zers.
Wow.
You're a Gen Y, I'm assuming. By the look of it, you look like about a Gen Y. You're certainly not a Gen Xer. I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
And I'm nearly 80.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So, a lot more Gen Zers, a lot more males than females are jumping on board.
I'm a 90s baby, so that puts me in.
Yeah, I'm a 70s baby. Yeah. So, yeah, you're a Gen Y. You're a millennial. You're a millennial. And, So that's interesting. And, one young man said, what did he say? He said, this is what he said. He says, "I felt so empty. Going to places like the Golden Temple and Taj Mahal really opened my eyes." So he's speaking of things from, his Indian, his Indian background, and he says, it started to make me think, okay, if this is going on here, what's going on back in Perth? And so him and his girlfriend, he said, got in the car, and they got some mates, and together with their mates, they made a decision to go to church. Isn't that interesting?
That is.
Yeah. So he's from an Indian background, but he decided to check out Christianity and see what, you know, and see what Christianity had to offer him. So it's really interesting. He says, I feel like I know about religion or Jesus or God or church or anything like that. I just wanted to leave at the door and make a fresh start. So yeah, you just, you know, there's individuals who are searching and seeking. And we're at the university there, so we've got a lot of Gen Ys, you know, a lot of Gen Ys and Gen Zers coming along, and a lot of them are seeking and searching.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got the Bible study classes. We've got three Bible study classes each week, you know, that are dealing in different topics, and the discussions are fantastic. Wouldn't you say, Blair?
Absolutely. You've got people digging in and asking questions,
yeah.
You know, address. And, you know, it's an interesting article that you highlight here, Danny, because we're connecting, if we connect it to prophecy, or I guess just biblical values and truth, you've got the idea very clearly communicated in scripture that God has, for example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has set eternity in the hearts of every man. He's given us a God-shaped hole that, you know, inside every one of us is this longing for meaning, for connection, but ultimately for connection with that creator God. And I think this article reflects that. You've got people, you know, different stories of people who are acknowledging their need for something more than what this world has to offer.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think we're going to see more and more of that sort of thing as things get more and more wacky in the last days.
True.
Now, I mean, there's two sides to this coin, because prophecy, scripture does tell us that the love of many will grow cold in the last days. You know, there'll be people turning away from the word of God. But at the same time, there'll be great revival as well. It's really a contrast we see in the last days between, you know, many turning away, but then many turning to. And at the bottom of it all is this eternity that God has set in the hearts of every single person for something more than this world has to offer.
I love what you just said about God placing this God-shaped hole in the heart of everyone. And just on this, you know, on Sunday night, I was with the 4D church, you know, the 4D living church there at Warrabrook, where they meet in the community center. And I was doing, they were going through the New Start series, and they were up to the last letter, the T, which is trust in divine power. And in case people are wondering what does New Start stands for, it's an acronym based on the 8 laws of health, which is N for nutrition, E for exercise, W for water, S for sunshine, T for temperance, R for rest, A for air, and New Start, STAAR for rest, yes, and the last T was trust in divine power. And I dealt with the T, the trust in divine power, and I shared from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, where the Bible says God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, so every single person has this measure of faith in their heart. This seed of the gospel has been sowed in each and every heart. And on the word eternity, when were you born again?
90.
So you were 10 years old when the new millennium kicked in.
Yes.
All right, the year 2000.
I remember it.
You remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I remember it really well. I was in Kiwiland. I was pastoring in Kiwiland there in Palmerston North. And you may recall or you've heard Sydney Harbour had their fireworks spectacular to usher in the year 2000 and the new millennium and all the hype with that.
We had the Olympics in Australia.
We had the Olympics in the year 2000. Yep. So it was a big show in Sydney in the year 2000. When the fireworks ended, the final signature piece of the fireworks as it ended was the word eternity on the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
Do you know the story?
Yes, love that story.
Yeah, it's the story of Arthur Stace. And I'd encourage our listeners to check out the story of Arthur Stace. Books have been written, you know, whole programs, as in, you know, operas. There's been an opera. I think there's even been a movie that's been put out.
There's a cafe in Sydney at Central station.
It's called Eternity.
Eternity.
Yeah. No way. After this.
Yeah.
And Arthur Stace, you know, the story is just so, so powerful. The word eternity appears on the Sydney Harbour Bridge for the whole world to see. And the story behind that word eternity, and I'm just going to share it really, really quickly. Arthur Stace basically, he grew up in a very poor home. He was the youngest of about five children. His parents were alcoholics. He ended up an alcoholic. His sisters were involved in the brothel industry, and they had him sort of do scouting and looking for customers. So anyway, his life was a train wreck. It was a train wreck. He couldn't even spell his name, barely had any education. Anyway, he's born in 1885, some 45, 50 years later in 1930. So what's that? 45 years. He's 45 years old, 1930. He's at the bottom of the barrel. He walks into a church and he gives his heart to Christ, He's looking for a meal, and they were feeding people who came in. 2 years later, he is in a church listening to a sermon, and the sermon was entitled The Echoes of Eternity. And the scripture was from Isaiah 57:15, and it says this: "For thus saith the High and Lofty One, the inhabiteth that inhabiteth eternity." It's from the KJV. "Whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." That was the theme scripture in that sermon entitled "The Echoes of Eternity," and the preacher said, "Eternity, eternity, I wish that I could sound or shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity?" And you know what Arthur Stace says? This is what he writes. He says, "Eternity went ringing through my brain, and suddenly I began crying and felt a powerful call from the Lord to write eternity." And although he could barely write his name, Blair, God gave him the ability in copper art script to write the word eternity. And he wrote the word eternity more than 500,000 times at railway stations, in front of people's homes, with yellow chalk. And this word became synonymous with Sydney, the word eternity. For 30 years, the word was written. They tried to pull him up. The police told him, "It's graffiti. You can't do it." He says, I have orders from a higher power." And he continued. And so, you know, it's just incredible, and the difference that made. And that was on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. There you go, mate. Ecclesiastes 3:11.
It was there from the beginning.
And so, folk, great story. Look it up, and you'll be inspired by it. God has indeed put eternity in all of our hearts. And now we're going to listen to Danny Gokey. "Tell Your Heart to Beat Again." Oh, look at that. Perfect. Who would have known?
Shattered like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, but this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the
everything for your good. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then. You're listening to the Looking Up Show. It's Wednesday, December 11, and we've got our very special guest here in the studio today, the one and only wonderful Blair. How you going, Blair?
Oh, living the dream, living my blessed life, walking in the blessed assurance.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, folk, we are going to continue by taking a look at what's been happening. We shared with you that incredible story of Arthur Stace.
Amazing.
I mean, that's a classic story. You know, that just shows that no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your education is, even if you can't literally spell your name, which he struggled to do, but yet that word eternity came out perfectly.
You know, I was at an Anzac Day service one time, and the preacher of the day shared the message, and he shared in his message a line that just stuck in my mind for a long time on this same word. He said, "Eternity is the wrong thing to get wrong."
Wow.
Just stuck in my mind because, and he told the story of Arthur Stace and the whole, what you just shared, yeah. Danny, amazing story. And he left with the appeal. You don't want to get eternity wrong. You know, God put that desire in your heart, that turn, he set eternity in your heart for a reason because we were made for a different place. So let's get it right.
And this is the place where we make our decision.
Absolutely.
This is our opportunity in this life.
Period of probation right here on this earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, folk, it's a great story and a great message of hope. Now we've got a couple more messages that have come through, Blair, and, apart from David, someone else mentioned, Ben also mentioned Benjamin. Well, he is Benjamin. So Ben is actually Benjamin. So there you go. So he's weighing in.
I like that name. And I've got a good friend, Matt Parr, who named his kid Benjamin as well.
He did.
Which is a great little kid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he named one of his kids Desmond.
Ooh.
After Desmond Doss. Now that is an epic story.
Amazing. Now I know this is, you know, I've had a name in the back of my mind, a couple of different names.
Okay.
I'm thinking I might float it on air right now.
Yeah, and let's find out what our listeners think.
See what folk think. We're not committed to it, but one of the names I've been rattling around is Israel.
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 What does that name mean? Do you want to tell our listeners?
Well, you know, it's the people of God, the Israelites, and of course that's a wonderful connection it's in the Bible, the people of Israel, right?
Well, Jacob was
his name. Yeah, his name was Israel.
That's right.
So, it's a Bible name, but it's not. You might be picking up the pattern. I like obscure names that don't jump out.
That name is quite a recognizable name here in Australia because we had the Israel Folau saga so long ago.
There is, and that's a cherry on top for, you know, a man of conviction and faith who stood up despite what came at him. Though the heavens fall, he stood for the right truth and scripture. So, yeah, I mean, that's just another thing. But, yeah, that's one rattling around in the back of the mind. But yeah, thank you for sending those other names through, and please keep them coming.
Absolutely. And David, he just continues to send messages. I think we're up to number 5. If there was a prize for who sends us the most feedback, it'd be David. He would get that prize. And he's a real trooper. Well done. He's sharing here that in his Clarkson Church there in WA, they've got a message this Saturday on the final superpower, the United States in Bible prophecy.
Oh, very 10
o'clock,
timely.
10 o'clock. So we're going to be talking about that as well today. So if you're anywhere near the Clarkson Seventh Adventist Church, drop in 10 o'clock, the final superpower. They're studying from the Secrets of Prophecy, that great series that I'm currently doing in my church at Boolaroo. We do it on a Thursday night at 6:30. So if anyone's around Boolaroo, on a Thursday night, 6:30, you want to join in and you want to learn more about Bible prophecy, certainly pop in. We'd love to have you. And this Saturday, for my final sermon for the year before I head off on holidays, I'll be at Boolaroo, I've entitled it, From Trump to the Sound of the Trumpet, ?
Oh, yeah.
Are we almost there?
We most certainly are almost there.
So we're going to take a look at that as we go along. So let's take a look at what else is making headlines from a prophetic point of view. I want to share with you a couple of interesting ones here, Blair, and just get your take on them. This was from website FaithWire, and the headline was, School Cancels Handel's Messiah Performance Amid Backlash Over Christian Music. Apparently, there was a school in Finland that had to cancel their concert of Handel's Messiah because it had Christian themes, and those Christian themes might offend some students.
Wow. That is
wild.
That is wild. It is wild out there.
Can you believe it?
This is crazy.
This in Finland, that has, that 65% of Finns still identify as Christians.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've went and visited Finland year before last, took a mission trip over there and there were one, beautiful churches around the place, wonderful people. Obviously very many of them have people of faith, but Handel Messiah, this is just a classic.
Of course.
Like, take Christianity out of it. I mean, I don't think you should, but even if you did, this is just a classic, well-respected piece of music.
I mean, Handel's Messiah. This is, Handel.
This is amazing.
It is amazing. So anyway, it gets better than that, Blair. It gets even more wild, if wild is not the word for this. This is epic. This is titanic. What happens next? Because you've got the students apparently at a previous school where Handel's Messiah was shared. They were complaining, and the National Non-Discrimination and Equality Tribunal decided that the non-Christian pupils should be compensated 1,500 euros for being offended.
Oh, man.
Lucky you're sitting down.
This is insane.
But fortunately, the city's Education and Welfare Committee voted it down just 6-5. It almost went through by the skin of it. Can you believe it?
I am struggling to believe that that's a. Have you
true seen story? It's not fake news.
Multiple headlines. This is multiple sources. Wow. This is crazy. There are some interesting things that come out of Finland. You might have followed that case a few years ago of the Finnish MP that was the hate speech laws for quoting scripture. Reading a verse of scripture. The Christian view of marriage between a male and a female.
Basically, yeah.
And this was hate speech. There was like trial, in the end, I understand that she was found not guilty, but was the process was part of the punishment, went through long trials and stressful, had to endure a lot of this stuff. So yeah, it seems like some interesting things coming out of Finland, for even though quite a few of them are Christian, and
65% identify as Christian. Because, and I mean, Protestantism was there in Western Europe.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild, but we know the pendulum's going to be swinging.
Yeah.
And we're going to be looking at that, and it's beginning to swing seriously in the United States, which we're going to get to, folks. So we're going to get to the land of the free and the home of the brave.
And this story, again, is just another example. You could pull many examples of this out, of a grievance victimhood culture that really, I suppose, puts currency value on you know, having a grievance or a problem, and, you know, you see them, you get points for being offended almost for, you know, almost getting award monetary value.
Wow, basically.
I mean, thankfully, in this case,
it was declined.
Logic prevailed.
Like, yeah, the board had to step in.
But, mate, if you can just claim offense at something and then, you know, expect the whole world to
compensate and bow down to you.
This is insane.
It's insane. All right. I've got one more. I've got one more wild one. This comes to us from, Ontario, Canada, and Canada's pretty wild. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how Justin Trudeau handles Donald Trump. I think that's going to be something to watch. That's going to be entertaining. We've already seen it.
The banter already is hilarious. Have you seen Trump's new statement that Canada is a state of America?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. The 51st state. I love it.
Oh, he's hilarious.
And Trump's going to make Trudeau the governor of the great state of Canada. I love it.
We'll watch this blooming relationship.
It will be. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. Anyway, there'll be no shortage of things to talk about on the Looking Up show next year. You can be sure of that. Check this one out from Ontario. An Ontario town by the name of EMO, was fined, wait for it, Blair, $10,000 for refusing to celebrate Pride Month.
Wow.
They were fined $10,000 for refusing to fly the Pride flag. Wow. During Pride Month, they were told by the government authorities that they had to do it for a week. They could choose whatever week they wanted to fly the flag in the month of June. And they said, we don't even have a flag pole. Apparently, there where they were going to fly it. And so, yeah, they were to be fined. But I think, I'm not sure what's happened with that, whether that's going to go through or not. But it was crazy. This is what the town was also cited for: failing to fly an LGBTQ2 rainbow flag, despite the fact that they don't have an official flagpole. So they don't have an official flagpole, but they were still fined, and they put in a letter. And anyway, this is where the world is. It's just gone wild. So we're just going to move away from that. And there was a shooting. You may have come across this one, and this just tells you where our world is at. There was a shooting at a Seventh-day Adventist school, Feather River, there in California. Did you come across that?
Yes, I did.
In Northern California, yeah. A gunman who critically wounded two kindergarten children.
It's tragic.
I mean, what have they done?
There's no sense. You can't make sense of that sort of senseless behavior.
No, and apparently, the motivation was he was having a go at, he had grievances with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and so he decided to take it out on a couple of kindergarten kids.
Wow.
In a school. And so, you know, Jesus said that before he returns, we're going to be living in the days of Noah. Days of Noah, the Bible says, you know, men's hearts were filled with wickedness and violence. And that's where we are today. And we wonder, you know, like, especially in the United States of America there, I mean, the gun violence is just off the scale. It's off the scale. And people are asking, why? How do we get here? And no one stops to ask what kind of entertainment, you know, what kind of world are our children growing up? What are they watching on television? What kind of video games are they playing, you know, for hours and hours? Does that have an impact? Does that have an influence?
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously it does.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But yet we you know, society wants to blame, and a lot of these government, especially these left-leaning government officials, want to blame everything other than, you know, what I believe is one of the most obvious things, which is, you know, the entertainment industry and the influence that has, because the Bible says by beholding, you become changed. You know that scripture?
Absolutely.
So this is where we are.
Well, you know, this moral decay and the increase in depravity and all of these things that we're seeing, you know, the murders, the sexual deviancy and all of these things, it is right there in scripture. It's foretold that in the last days these sorts of things will take place. You have a look in, there's that text in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1.
Do you want to read it?
Through to 6.
Do you have it there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, God's word says, speaking of the last days, it says, men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And, you know, this is just some of the descriptions of these last days. It says, know these things, that in these last days, perilous times will come. All these things will take place. And, you know, these headlines that you're reading are just some examples of the many that could be
just
quoted.
Just a drop in the bucket, yeah.
Absolutely, of these exact same things. You know, people who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud.
Disobedient to parents.
Absolutely.
I mean, you hear children, young children in shopping centres cursing their parents. I mean, have mercy. Where have we got to?
So you this is a sign of the times.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. These are the signs of the times. It's just incredible where we are. And so, there is so much going on that is telling us that Jesus is drawing near. We're looking at what's going on in the Middle East. It's just chaos there. It's absolute chaos and carnage over there. And, the political disruption in Europe with France. And, it's just one thing after another. And these things are all telling us that Jesus is drawing near. Well, folk, after this song from Mark Schultz, Remember Me, we're going to tap into the land of the free and the home of the brave. We've got the big stuff coming up. So get ready, because we're going to be looking at some incredible prophetic developments that are happening before our very eyes. Enjoy.
Remember me in a Bible cracked and faded by the year. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer.
Enough to teach all the night.
You are listening to Mark Schultz, Remember Me, and you are listening to the Looking Up Show on this bright and sunny and pretty warm Wednesday afternoon here in Lake Macquarie, where we are airing the Looking Up Show from our studio here. And I am joined today with my good friend Blair. And we've been having a great time so far, Blair.
We sure have.
We've been dealing with these wild headlines that tell us that Jesus coming is drawing ever near.
Indeed.
The trumpet is about to sound. And so we are soon going to go and find out what the trump, heading into the trumpet, is all about. So remember, that's my Sabbath message this Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. We'll give you lunch as well. We've got lunch there at the Boolaroo Church. From Trump to the Sound of the Trumpet, is the title of the message. And we're going to be taking a look at the United States in Bible prophecy this Saturday morning, and we are going there right now. So this is a Bible study that's going to help prepare the way for what I'll be dealing with on Saturday morning. So, Blair, let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about the United States in prophecy. So we've been there, Sharissa and I, in the last couple of weeks, and we've been just unpacking it little by little and putting together the pieces as the headlines are coming through thick and fast. Let's start off with the verse 11 there, where it introduces the United States of America. Do you want to read Revelation 13 and verse 11, please?
Absolutely. The Bible says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon."
All right. So this is speaking of the United States of America. We've identified this power in the past. We don't have time to go into the details of how we got there and the various identification marks. But there's two things we want to highlight. Firstly, this beast has two horns like a lamb. So a horn in the Bible is a symbol of power, authority. It's also a symbol of a king or a kingdom principle. And so we know that the United States was founded on two supreme principles. Do you want to tell us what those two supreme principles are that is the very foundation of the United States of America, the reason why it has become the greatest nation in all of human history?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of my favorite topics as an American. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to speak.
You're half American, aren't you?
That's right. Well, I would say full American. Oh. Because I'm full Australian and full American, you know, 100% both.
100% both, I love it. But your mum was born over there, wasn't
that's
she?
Right, that's
your
right.
Was, yeah. And your dad was born over here.
Correct.
That's
correct,
right. Okay, yes, so right. All right, so just to clarify, but it's still 100-100.
You know, you don't get a half citizenship.
No,
they
you
give
don't.
You the full
have
thing.
Have you got US citizenship?
Indeed, yes.
Well, so you could go and live there anytime.
Yeah, got the passport, everything.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
So these two horns, the two foundational principles of the United States of America was really actually a pioneering idea at the time, was this idea of republicanism, a government without a king, and Protestantism, a church without a pope. And, you know, coming from the old world and in Europe and all of those areas where the norm had been monarchies and kings and then within the church land you'd had Catholicism with, you know, a head of a church, the Pope, whose word was authoritative. And the American experiment was a contrast to this. It was a nation that was founded on Protestantism and republicanism, democracy
not the Republican Party, like
no,
Republican
Democrat. No.
We're talking about the principle of republicanism, which is a country without a king.
That's right.
And so, where the people duly elect their government officials, including, you know, the head of state, which would be the president.
And so the idea behind this is really profound. It might not seem profound these days when we have more nations that have similar, you know, ideals and values. But at the time, this was very much an experiment in some ways. And the idea basically were the two driving governing principles were civil and religious liberty. Mm-hmm. So no king, it's the voice of the people, and no pope, it's religious liberty. Liberty of conscience was very important and prime idea here for the founders of America. So a really amazing concept from which have come across the world in Western world, these principles of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. And you can really trace these values back to scripture ultimately.
Absolutely.
But these founding principles, I think, are very wonderful ideals. And this beast that comes forward, you know, you notice this beast with the horns. There's no crowns.
There's
pictured.
No crowns. The previous beast in Revelation 13, 1 to 10, which is speaking of the Roman papacy, does have crowns.
Indeed.
But not this beast.
No, there's a notable contrast. Mm. And coming up out of the earth in contrast to the waters where the many peoples and these sorts of things. And so this United States established something very new and wonderful, this idea of...
It was an experiment, wasn't it?
Yeah, and freedom to worship without government interference it's an amazing concept.
Absolutely. And so you have this nation that begins, and the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is a symbol of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, John 1:29, and we have the word Lamb appear 29 times in the book of Revelation. And every single time, except for on this occasion, the word Lamb represents Christ. Mm. You know, so it begins Christ-like, but then something happens that you just cannot even imagine. So we go from was like a lamb, if there was only a full stop at the end of lamb.
Oh, if we could stop there, wouldn't that be
wonderful? If we could stop at the end of the word lamb, full stop, end of story, we'd all live happily ever after. But it goes on. But it speaks like who?
A dragon.
And who's the dragon in the Bible?
The devil.
That's the devil and Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, it tells us very clearly. That dragon of old, the devil and Satan, that serpent of old. And so how does a nation speak? It speaks like a dragon. How does a nation speak?
Well, through its actions, its legislation, how it governs its people. And so what we're seeing here is a little foreshadow, a prophetic insight into this idea that America, founded on such beautiful lamb-like principles and qualities, would in fact repudiate those very ideals of religious and civil liberty and become an enforcer, like a dragon that would oppress consciences.
So the devil, we know from scripture, the devil, he's got two primary methods of attack. One of them is deception. The other one is coercion. Often he'll use both in tandem, deception and coercion. And we have that in Revelation 13 because he seeks to deceive the world. And those he cannot deceive, well, he seeks to force them, coerce them. There's through no buying and no selling, and even a death decree. So we've got coercion and deception going hand in hand. And that's always been the case. I mean, the first war in scripture was when Cain killed his brother Abel, and that was over worship. And the last war and the last murder on earth before Jesus returns will be over worship once again. So it's really fascinating because this is really important because we are seeing the voice of the dragon coming through more and more. And we're going to take a look at this, and I'm going to share with you some headlines that will just make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, or maybe even come off completely. We have the Declaration of Independence, just to be reminded, July 4, 1776. That's their Independence Day. And these words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, or rights that cannot be taken away. Here they are. What are they? Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm. Is that Christ-like in the Declaration of Independence?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Those words in the preamble, they are straight out of Scripture.
Mm.
You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Jesus said, I have come to give life and give life to the fullest. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's an invitation. It's not force. And then, of course, we have the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. It's interesting. These two principles of the separation of church and state are right there at the very outset. That Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And it goes on and speaks of the freedom of speech. It would not abridge the freedom of speech or you know, stop people from speaking freely or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, which is, you know, peacefully protest. So that's how the United States was formed. But the Bible says it will speak like a dragon. So let me ask you, the separation of church and state, you know, this church without a pope, you know, a government without a king, this freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, that's at the very heart, you would have to say, of the formation of the United States of America.
Absolutely, which is what makes it so hard to believe in some ways what Scripture says will happen down the track.
That it would speak like a dragon,
because that would involve...
Which is the union of church and state.
That's right. That would involve repudiating the very principles on which the nation was established.
And going back to the old world.
This doesn't happen, you know, easily.
No.
The Bible tells us, prophecy tells us that it will happen.
Okay. So is this beginning to happen? All right. Let's take a look at some headlines. Now let's go to our friend, Mr. Trump. And, let me just put it out there, Blair. And I think you would agree that what we are seeing from Donald Trump, what we saw in the first term was, I would say it was something that was unprecedented in connection with, the power that he promised and the way that he was combining church and state in his first term. But what we are seeing as far as the promises that he's made of what he is willing to roll out in his second term is on another level. Okay, so let's talk about Project 2025. You remember Project 2025?
Of course.
Okay, Donald Trump, what did he do during the election? Before the election, he distanced himself, didn't he?
Of course.
Okay. He said, that's just, you know, a lot of it's way out there. I don't know anything really about it. Haven't read it. Da di da di da. And he had his first interview on, NBC, I think it was. Yeah. NBC, an hour, and a bit interview for the first time since the election. And once again, Project 2025 was, brought up, and he said, look, he distanced himself to a degree, but he said a lot of the things in Project 2025 are in my platform, you know, my official platform, which is Agenda 47, which I'm sure you've come across. Now, guess who is one of his chief administrators in his cabinet that he has chosen? An individual by the name of Russ Vought. Have you heard of Russ Vought?
Yes.
Okay. He's the incoming White House budget director, and he will be responsible for the Office of Management and Budget. Have you checked out how much power this guy has? Enormous. Like, he is right up there.
Yeah. Well, the money matters.
I couldn't believe when I went onto the website to check out what are all his roles and what are he's literally in charge of the purse. He's the Judas. I'm not saying he's the Judas, but like Judas was in charge of the purse. Now, what's the big deal about Russ Vought? Guess what? He, according to this headline from the Oklahoma Voice, new Trump budget chief wrote Project 2025's agenda for empowering the presidency. Can you believe it?
One of the key architects.
One of the key architects of Project 2025. So this is absolutely incredible.
It's not that surprising, really, because many of these people that are involved in Project 2025, by the way, many of the things in which are very sensible policies.
They are brilliant.
Very
good
stuff.
They are brilliant. Absolutely.
It's just basic, good policy and in much of what is there. But there is, right hidden away there in Project 2025, there is some sneaky laws that would involve impeaching or the government enforcing the first four commandments, or at least some of the first four commandments.
There is. We're going to get to one of those. Yeah, that is a big problem. Like, I mean, if you take a look at Project 2025, there are four key areas. The first one is restoring the family as the centerpiece of American life and protect our children.
You could not get a better...
And that is the foundation.
You know, family first.
Absolutely. That's lamb-like.
Absolutely.
So what we've got in this is we've got the lamb-like principles, but then we have got the infiltration of the dragon-like principles, which is looking to legislate in connection with those first four commandments that deal with worship.
And much of the policy agenda of the opposition, of the other side of politics here, is destroying family.
Absolutely.
Ripping, you know, the moral thread of society apart.
Absolutely.
And so there's some real value here, but at the same time we have to, you know, that we should be, watch the prophetic alarm bells.
We will. So we're going to come back and we're going to pick up on that discussion because there's a lot more to share on that. So stay tuned. We're going to come back after Chris Rupp, Blessed Assurance. We'll be back soon.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine.
What a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst from my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy. Whispers of love.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story.
Hope you enjoyed that beautiful song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. What an awesome hymn that is, Blair.
And don't we need the Blessed Assurance amidst all these headlines?
Absolutely. As we see the trumpet drawing near, we need that Blessed Assurance. You are spot on. Guess what I forgot to do? I've been all caught up in my first time producing. I forgot all about the free giveaway, the book that I mentioned right at the beginning. We're supposed to like mention it each time, but there you go. So I've like just totally bombed that one. But anyway, Life is Good. The Best is Yet to Come by William G. Johnson. You will really enjoy this book. And so this book will be given to whoever texts in the code word. We're going to give the, I might as well give the code. Let's give the code word right now. It's just one word. You need to text the code word to the number 0488 176 24. So are you ready for the code word? Are we ready for the code word?
We're ready.
All right. Here we go. All right. I just pressed one of the buttons. just to see what happens. All right, off you go. What's the code word, Blair?
LU24 good life.
All right, did you guys get that? Say that again, Blair.
LU24 good life. That's obviously short for looking up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
2024 and good life.
Okay, and then don't put any emojis or smiley faces or any of that kind of stuff. Just that word. Text it to 0488817624. Very good. And by the way, our mate David, he's weighed in again in connection with your name, Blair. Do you know that your name, Blair, is of Scottish Gaelic origin? Did you know that?
I did know that. I like the meaning, looking into the meanings of names.
Do you know what it means?
I'm so stoked on the meaning of my name.
I love it.
It's a plain or a field.
Yeah, plain, field, yeah. Meadow.
Yes, it's too peaceful for
or
me.
Or battlefield, apparently. He reckons
now
it's
I
all.
Can I can get on board with that
yeah.
one.
So anyway, so it is derived from the Scottish Gaelic word blah, B-L-A-R.
I've been called that a few times.
Blah, blah, blah. I love it. Hey, here's another name. I think David said Caleb.
Oh, that's nice.
He suggested Caleb. Yeah. So you can add that to your list as well.
That's good.
He talks about, he's got three nephews, he tells us. Caleb, Isaiah, and Judah.
Ooh,
I like nice. The name Isaiah.
Yeah, very nice.
That's a really cool name as well. So anyway, thanks for that. So, LU24, good life. And we've already got some people already getting that book. So, we'll share that again in our next round. All right. Now back to Donald Trump and some of his picks. Blair, I discovered that it's not just one or two, but apparently a number of his cabinet picks. Like these are the who's who in the Trump zoo. All right. The cabinet picks. These are the movers and the shakers. These are the policy makers. These are the ones that are going to be in his ear more than anybody else. All of the Trump cabinet picks that have ties to Project 2025, according to this article, Brendan Carr, Pete Hoekstra, U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Tom Homan, White House Border Czar. That's going to be an interesting job. Carolyn Levite, White House Press Secretary. So the Press Secretary, she's a contributor. She's one of the 400 contributors of Project 2025. Stephen Miller, John Ratcliffe, J.D. Vance. He apparently has weighed in on Project 2025. Did you realize that?
I didn't know that. That's interesting, though. I just recently read his book, The Hillbilly Elegy.
Okay.
He tells the story of growing up as a hillbilly in the Appalachian Mountains in the U.S.
Is that right?
Very, very. He comes from abject poverty and, you know, some very, drug addicts with his mom and his family and a very dysfunctional family. But he talks about rising above that and building a policy platform to help people and families in need. So, very fascinating book. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
But
I didn't know that he'd contributed to Project 2025.
Apparently, yeah, listen to this. He's very good friends with one of the founders of the Heritage Foundation, Kevin Roberts.
Yes,
you know, the one who's one of the main individuals behind. He wrote the foreword to Project 2025, you know, A Promise to America. And he's a longtime friend of Kevin Roberts. And Vance wrote the foreword for Roberts' upcoming book, which is entitled, check this out, Dawn's Early Light, Taking Back Washington to Save America. You know, this idea of saving the nation again. So we've got J.D. Vance, and of course we've mentioned Russell Vought already. So you've got a number of individuals that have weighed in on Project 2025, which is a mixing of church and state. Let's be clear on that. The majority, I would say, based on what I have seen, I would agree with about 90 to 99% of the Project 2025. You would agree with it because it's based on biblical principles, which are solid, but it's that 1% that is merging church and state together that is deadly. That's where the dragon will speak.
And this is a very important distinction to make, because we understand that Scripture gives to governments the legitimate purview or area of responsibility for governments is to legislate and govern the people around the last six commandments, mm-hmm. how we treat each other, murder, stealing.
Honoring your mother and your father, yeah, so family values.
Absolutely. This is the legitimate domain of mm-hmm. earthly governments to legislate mm-hmm. on. The problem comes, and this is where much of Policy Project 2025 is right in that vein of good.
It is. Like sensible 90-99%. Absolutely.
But then once you start encroaching upon those first four commandments, mm-hmm. legislating on the things of God, mm-hmm. on how one should worship, or what is a legitimate worship, or if there's a state-based worship that's approved or disapproved, this is where the problem comes.
Is where the voice of the dragon is heard.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me read to you. So there's 4 points literally that cover the entire book. Those 920 odd pages of Project 2025. The first three are brilliant, but the fourth one begins to raise alarm bells. So I've already mentioned the first one, you know, restoring the family as the centerpiece of American life and protecting our children. Number one. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. That's the first of those six commandments, Blair, that you pointed out. You know, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord is giving you. There's a promise there. So that's number one for God when it comes to our relationships with one another and what government has jurisdiction over. And it's number one here. Brilliant. Amen. Amen and amen, I say. Number two, dismantle the administrative state and return self-governance to the American people. I say hallelujah. I'm not into this, you know, deep state as it's called or whatever you want to call it, where government wants to run people's lives.
That's right. Small government's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how the nation was formed. Small government. But now it's just massive. And so you've got Elon Musk and Vivek who are going to do some serious trimming.
Hair cutting, some trimming.
Some serious. No, I don't think they're going to do any trimming. They'll be bringing out, I don't know what they're going to bring out. The bazooka. The grenades are going to be coming into Washington. Number three, defend our nation's sovereignty, borders, and bounty against global threats. Absolutely. And that's obviously big on the agenda. And you need to defend your borders of your nation. Otherwise, you won't have a nation. So 100%. But then check out number four, Blair. Check this out. Number four, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely. Amen to that. What our Constitution calls the blessings of liberty. Okay. This is where the danger is. God is for the first time mentioned. Nothing wrong with mentioning God. But when we look to move into the territory of bringing in laws that entail or that are connected to religion and faith, that's when we have an issue. Now, you raised one particular item that is in Project 2025. It's on page 589, and I've printed off the page here, and it's in connection with Sabbath rest. So let's take a look at this, Blair, because this is what you were referring to. Check this out. I'm going to read to you just straight out of Project 2025. It's entitled Sabbath Rest. God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest. And until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. Okay, speaking of those Sunday blue laws that they had in the United States of America that they still have in some places, you know, where shops cannot open on Sunday and certain activities can't be performed on Sundays. They go on. Moreover, a shared day off makes it possible for families and communities to enjoy time off together rather than as atomized individuals, and provides a healthier cadence of life for everyone. Unfortunately, that communal day of rest has eroded under the pressures of consumerism and secularism, especially for low-income workers. All right. So this is what they're proposing, that Congress should encourage Congress. So what's Congress responsible for?
Laws.
Laws.
Legislation.
Absolutely. That's the role of Congress. Okay, so that Congress should encourage communal rest by amending the Fair Labor Standards Act to require that workers be paid time and a half for hours worked on the Sabbath. Now, are they speaking of Saturday as the Sabbath? No, they're speaking of Sunday as the Sabbath. It goes on. That day would default to Sunday, except for employers with a sincere religious observance of a Sabbath at a different time. For example, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. That would be Seventh-day Adventists, Jews, and many other Sabbath-keeping Christians. The obligation would transfer to that period instead, and it goes on, and it talks about it. Now, this is in that document. Now, does Congress have a right to legislate in connection with worship, in connection with the Sabbath? Does Congress have a right to do that, Blair? What do you think?
Absolutely not. I mean, if it's mandating worship, that is not the legitimate purview of a government. That should be left up to the individual conscience of an individual and how they would worship. Now, this doesn't expressly say that they're legislating you have to worship on Sunday, but this is beginning. This is some groundwork, and they have carved out there some exceptions there for people that observe the biblical Sabbath. But this, one has to wonder. In politics, when you're trying to win something, you win on the things that you know you can get, the easy ones first, and then you incrementally get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're seeing here is, I believe, some initial movements towards legislating Sunday worship. Mm. And that's a problem, because that is not the legitimate purview of an earthly government. That's something that God alone can require of us, and each individual should have the liberty of conscience to respond how they see fit.
So this is where the scripture says, he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. This is where we are beginning to hear the whispers, you could say, the whispers of the dragon speaking.
Indeed.
It's not loud.
No.
It's just those subtle whispers.
And it will always be subtle at first. That's the very point. It's not going to come out straight away as a roaring dragon. It will subtly come out in incremental fashion and ultimately will culminate in this giant roar.
It's interesting that the serpent in Genesis chapter 3:1 is described as cunning. The word cunning is used. And he didn't come straight out and tell Eve that God is a liar, did he? He said, did God really say? Casting doubt, just slowly setting the stage. Interesting. Back to our friend Donald Trump and that Bible that he's promoting. This is what he had to say, and he said a lot in connection with this. I shared this last week, and I just want to read a couple of lines. As he's promoting this God Bless the USA Bible, this is the president-elect. Before he was elected on November 5, this is what he was saying, Blair. Listen to this as he's promoting the Bible. People can go online, they can watch it. It's like a two to three minute promo from Donald Trump in connection with this God Bless the USA Bible. He says, we have to bring Christianity back into our lives and back into what will be again a great nation. I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again. These are the words of Donald Trump. Did you hear that? Do I need to repeat that, Blair? We must make America pray again. Is that bordering on looking to legislate or forcing?
Is it aspirational language, like we hope, we desire for revival in this country and there should be praying? Of course we could all get
absolutely
behind that. But is it a foreshadow of legislative commitment? We must make America pray again. Well, interesting. It's just little whispers.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Sit back and listen to Jimmy Needham, and we'll be back to continue this conversation.
It is finished, it is finished. Tetelestai. The beauty of the double meaning phrase. He ceased from his labor, and so have I. Now resting only in his grace. It is finished, it is finished. Tetelestai. The Son of Man succeeding where I failed. The wrath of God now satisfied. is finished, it is finished. Tetelestai. My hope found in the Savior's words alone. He willingly laid down his life, and gloriously he rolled away the stone.
Everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Look up.
You're listening to the Looking Up Show on this Wednesday afternoon, and we are in the home stretch. I can't believe it, Blair. Seriously?
Time flies.
Time flies. We need to be like that Joe Rogan and just do like 3-4 hour podcast.
Now we're talking.
Without any music, without anything. He did that 3 hour interview with Donald Trump.
Amazing.
There's no music. There's nothing. It was just like straight up and down discussion for 3 hours.
It's a long time.
And 50 odd million people tuned in, you know, at different times. And I don't know, a lot of people probably listening to it live, but
maybe that's how many would tune into our Joe Rogan show.
If we did 3 hours and no music, just you and I, just imagine how much stuff we could get through.
Oh, wow.
That would be wild and epic. Anyway, so, final opportunity to get the book. We've already had a few takers. William G. Johnson, Life is Good. The best is yet to come. And indeed, the best is yet to come. Hey, Blair, we've read the back of the book. We know how the story ends.
The lamb wins.
The lamb wins. The dragon, yes, he throws his toys out of the cot at the end. But God ultimately has the victory. The dragon's defeated. The beast is defeated. The false prophet's defeated. You may be thinking, what? False prophet? That's in Revelation. Yes, it is. Hopefully, I'm going to find someone next week like Blair, because Blair unfortunately can't join us next week. This is very, very disappointing. disappointed, Blair.
Gotta run summer camps.
Part two would have been just off the scale, but yeah, he'll be running summer camps, so he won't be able to join us, but I'll look to get someone else who's on the same page, and we can delve into the second half of this all-important study, because there's so much more to deal with. So that book, Life is Good, The Best is Yet to Come. What's the code word again, Blair?
LU24, good life, all in one word.
There you go. Text that word to 0488 17624, and that book will be coming your way. Now, back to our friend Donald Trump and this Bible, because we've talked about church and state. Okay, that's been our theme today. These two horns that are to remain separate, but the Bible says they're going to combine. Because the voice of the dragon is the unity of church and state. And whenever church and state get into bed together, it always equals persecution for the faithful people of God. Always, all the time. From the days of Cain and Abel all the way through to the end of time. It's always the same. Now, this is what he shares. Check this out. Are you holding on to your pew or your seat?
I'm ready.
You're ready. This is what he shares. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We have lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. Did you know that? Mm. It's his favorite book. You wouldn't know it, but anyway. It's a lot of people's favorite book, he goes on. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back to America and make America great again is our religion. This is what he's saying. This is straight out of the horse's mouth. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong.
Mm.
Just.
This is interesting. You know, I mean, you know, again, this is, it all comes down to the mechanisms through which you seek to achieve that outcome. Mm. Because it's a good thing to say we need religion. We need Christianity. That's actually called evangelism.
Absolutely.
And if the mechanism, if the method of creating a nation, you know, converting people is free will, sharing the gospel and appealing to them and giving them an opportunity to respond, praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Amen. If the mechanism is legislating and requiring through law to worship in certain ways, that is not of the Spirit of God. That is coercion. That is the work and the voice of the dragon. That is beastly behavior.
Mm. So you mentioned the word that is not of the Spirit of God. So it's the Holy Spirit's role to convict people of the message of Christ and the gospel message. So it's not the role of the government
to legislate
and to seek to be the Holy Spirit in order to force people, coerce people into following biblical principles. We know that. Very clear.
Yeah, I mean, you can legislate around certain biblical principles like not murdering.
Yeah, but that's not part of the first four that deal with worship.
That is the important distinction, and that's the one that...
Render unto Caesar things that belong to Caesar, Jesus said. Render unto God the things that belong to God. A clear distinction.
See, some people, this is an important distinction, because some people will mix this up and they'll say, oh, if any Christian is advocating for Christian values in the public square, that's a mix of church and state. No, that's not the case. It is the legitimate purview of governments to legislate those areas where it relates humans to humans, but not to take the place of God and to act as a conscience of an individual and to legislate those first four commandments in how we relate to God. Mm. This is the key distinction.
Absolutely.
And even for a politician to desire for revival to take place across America or Australia and for, you know, Christian values to be, you know, more prominent, that's not a problem. Go for it. But it depends how. If you're going to go,
like you said, it's the mechanism that's used.
Are you going to legislate and coerce, or are you going to appeal? And as individuals, we do this through evangelism, appeal to people, give them an opportunity.
Let the Holy Spirit bring about conviction and conversion, and not legislation.
Absolutely. And the truth is, we do believe that Scripture does tell us that there will be a great revival at the end of time, and there will be
But the true revival will not come about because of legislation.
No. You cannot legislate true revival.
You cannot. It's a matter of the heart. Correct. Only God can change the heart. Check this out now. This is pregnant with meaning. Have a listen to this, Brother Blair. He says, after I've just read, you know, we're going to come back strong, you know, just like our country is going to come back strong. He's talking about religion coming back strong. Then he finishes off with these words. And this is, well, he doesn't finish off with these words, but this is part of his spiel. In the end, listen to this, Blair. We do not answer to bureaucrats and in Washington, we answer to the God in heaven. So who's the final station? It's God. And it's interesting that he has established a faith office in the White House that will directly communicate with him. A faith office. And guess who's going to be in charge of the faith office? None other than Ben Carson. Dr. Ben Carson. And he's now beginning to, from what Justin Lawman shared on his program, on the Faith FM program that he hosts with a couple of others there with, he said that, he was quoting Ben Carson saying that he doesn't believe that the Constitution, the First Amendment, does separate church and state. He was saying that. So I'm just going on what Justin said, but it's interesting. And this God Bless the America Bible, you talk about church and state being in bed together. In this Bible, it's the King James version of the Bible, but it's not just that. You have in that Bible, you have the Constitution, you've got the Bill of Rights, you've got the Declaration of Independence, and you've got the Pledge of Allegiance. These are documents of, you know, in connection with government. You've got them inside the Bible itself. The first Bible that came out, the God Bless the USA Bible that Donald Trump endorsed, was, just the average Bible. It was $59.99. I'm not doing any promo here for the Bible. But guess what? The second, they've come out with some special editions. Did you know that? There's three special edition God Bless the USA Bible. And guess who they have on the front cover? Donald Trump in all three of them. The first one is the Donald Trump 47th President Edition. This is on the front cover, United States of America Inauguration Day Edition, January 20, 2025. That's one. Then that one's $69.99. Then Blair, because you've got a lot of money, there's the $1,000 Bible. Did you know that?
Wow.
$1,000 Bible, and it's the President Donald Trump Signature Edition. So he's put his signature there in the Bible. And on the front cover is the 45th President of the United States of America Signature Edition. Should a Bible be connected with the president in that way? Does that go well, or is that heading into that dangerous territory?
Yeah,
this is the president
question, and you know, and in even just on a commercial basis, it's a little bit
sleazy. Yeah,
but I mean, I guess at the end of the day, people are selling Bibles all the time anyway. But I don't know.
But the president, his main role on January 20, when he puts his hand on the Bible. Guess what he's going to do?
Swear.
He's going to swear that he's going to protect or uphold I don't know what the word is, the Constitution. Isn't that right? That's what he says. You know, got a frog. He will declare before the United States of America and its citizens and the world that he will pledge by the grace of God to protect the Constitution of the United States of America. And the First Amendment is clear. There shall be a separation of church and state. And when the Bible has your name on the front cover and it's in connection with you, that for me, I'm really sorry, Blair, but that for me tells me that something dangerous could be on the way. Something dangerous could be on the way. And you have here this God Bless the America Bible. You have another one, the third one, $69.99, the Day God Intervened Edition Bible, which is
the assassination
attempt on July 13, 2024. The Day God Intervened.
See, this to me is just capitalizing on a financial, like this is using all of the publicity of event to commercially utilize scripture. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be doing it personally.
No, it's what do you think those who are not of a Christian persuasion, how do you think they feel the United States president saying that everyone ought to pray, everyone ought to get this Bible? You know, he's not saying everyone ought to get the Quran or everyone ought to get, you know, some other religious document. This is, and the thing is, this is very subtle, Blair. This is very subtle. As you said, there's nothing overtly bad or wrong, but there's nothing overtly good as well. This is like we're venturing into that territory, that territory where things could go from there. And that's how the enemy works.
Springboard.
Like very, very subtle.
To legislate. And that is the real problem with a combination of church and state. It's not that someone, a politician, might have Christian values. The real problem is that that's not a problem for politicians to have Christian values. Every politician brings their own values to whatever they've come with. The problem is legislating those first four commandments. Mm. And if we're moving towards that direction, which I believe we are, and prophecy says will ultimately culminate in legislating a day of worship, Sunday sacredness, then that's the ultimate issue with it. Now, there'll be little bits along the way that aren't necessarily wrong, but that are just stepping stones towards where we're going to.
These are like little creeping compromises.
Yeah, and we're observing.
The slippery slope.
What we're trying to do is just observe what some of these may be. Now, you know, you can hold them with a loose fist, some things, but certainly what is unequivocally wrong is legislating those first four commandments. And when we're not there yet.
No.
We're not. But prophecy says we will get there. And some of those little things, what we're noticing here is some of those things that could be little steps in that direction.
You know what's interesting? I want to go back to 2017, okay? A few years ago, September 3, 2017, Donald Trump was in the White House. He was the president at the time. There was a terrible hurricane, Category 4 storm that hit Texas, called Hurricane Harvey. I don't know if you remember it, Blair, but you can Google it as I'm speaking. And at that time, President Trump proclaimed that September 3, which was a Sunday, 2017, he declared it through an executive order as a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey and for our national response and recovery efforts. Nothing wrong with that. You know, nothing wrong for the president to encourage everyone to pray. Putting an executive action, you know, signing an executive order, I'm not sure. Now, why do I bring that up, Blair? Well, we've only got a little bit left, but the Bible says that in the end, Satan will pull out all the stops and he will create all kinds of natural disasters. And those natural disasters will be seen as judgments from God that he's not happy because the people are not worshiping in a certain way, calling out to God, crying out to God, seeking for that peace and safety that the Bible says they will. And so the enemy will use this as leverage. So we've got these interesting precedents, and I'm going to share with you a couple of statements as we wrap up in our next and final section. We've only got a few minutes left in our wrap up, and I'm going to just share where all this is leading. And then next week, we're going to deal with part two, and we're going to deal with the rest of this story. But in the meantime, listen to Tim Moore, Come Go With Me, and then we'll be back for our final wrap up.
There's freedom in that land, nothing but peace in that land. So come go with me to that land where I'm bound. They'll be singing in that land, voices ringing in that land. We'll all be together in that land. There's freedom.
Hope you enjoyed that beautiful song from Tim Moore. Let it shine. And we need to let our light shine, Blair. We're in the final throes, mate. I can't believe it.
Oh, well, here we are.
We're here to wrap up. We've only got a few minutes remaining. All right. So where is all this leading? All these disasters, these natural disasters. Let me read to you from The Great Controversy, that book that we encourage everyone to get hold of. Isn't that right, Blair?
Indeed.
The book, The Great Controversy, written over a century ago.
As if it was written just yesterday.
Absolutely. The vision was given to this woman that God inspired with the gift of prophecy, Ellen White, in 1858. So that's when the vision comes from, over 150 years ago. In the chapter 36 entitled The Impending Conflict. Okay, this is what she writes. She writes, while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he, that is Satan, will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and land, in great conflagrations, that is, in wildfires, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms. We can add hurricanes in the mix as well. In tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. She goes on and she describes a little more of that. Then she goes on. Then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. All right, who may they be? Let's keep reading. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath. It will be declared, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced. Okay, so we can see it's going to come in slowly, Blair. It won't be strictly enforced to begin with. But as these disasters continue to multiply, as the president continues to bring out these executive orders, pray, it's going to move on from we ought to pray to legislation being brought in through Congress, signed off by the president. She goes on, she says, and those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, that would be the Sabbath, the true Sabbath, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. We will never make America great again unless, it will be said, unless Sunday legislation is enforced by law. That is where we are going. That is where we are heading. And then, to boot, she writes, communications from the spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of Sunday of their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the law of God. Is spiritualism going to be in the thick of it at the end of time, according to Revelation?
Of course.
Absolutely. We've got that in Revelation 13 and beyond, Revelation 16, and we're going to look at that some more next week. And then she finishes off by simply stating that the dignitaries of church and state will unite to bribe, persuade, or compel all classes to honor the Sunday. The lack of divine authority will be supplied by oppressive enactments. And then she goes on and she finishes in connection with the dragon will be wroth with the woman and will go out to make war with those who keep her commandments, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Prophetic stuff.
So we are seeing the workings of this right now, aren't we?
Indeed.
Absolutely. So next week, folk, we are going to deal with a whole heap more. We've only had time to scratch the surface. There's a lot more. But in the meantime, I'm going to invite my friend Blair to pray for us as we sign off. And then I'm going to sign off with a few final words. And that's going to be it for this show. So thank you, Blair.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this chance we've had to study your word. We thank you for your light, your prophetic word that's like a light in a dark place. I pray for all of our listeners out there who are seeking to follow you. May you bless them, continue to shine light in their lives, and may we follow your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Blair. So there you have it, folk. That's the end of our time together. And as always, we've run out of time. There's so much more to share, but I hope and pray that you'll be able to join us next week. Same time, same place.
I'll have to tune in from summer camp.
Yeah, you'll have to tune in for part two. So it's been great. We need to have you again. Are you willing to come on again?
I'd love to.
Oh, absolutely. It's been fantastic because Blair loves these topics, to see Bible prophecy coming to life. How exciting. What an exciting time to be alive. And just a reminder, this coming Saturday, if you're anywhere near the Boolaroo Church, come along. From Trump to the sound of the trumpet, question mark. So that's what we're going to be dealing with this coming Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and then we'll feed you beyond that. So remember, until next Wednesday, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up, and God bless Sharissa and Justin and Judah.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up, should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares He will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me. Upon a cross, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. In human likeness, willing to obey, the Lord came down to walk among us. His name is exalted to the highest place, above all in heaven and on. That He is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. He is Lord.